Today I'm continuing with a series I began last week called Walking in Discernment in an Age of Great Deception. So walking in discernment in an age of deception. And before I get going, let me share something funny with you. First of all, I made up my own joke today, and I was going to do a joke on Calvinism, but I was afraid many of you wouldn't get it. Yeah. There was a little old lady who loved Jesus, and she would come out on her front porch every morning and shout, "Praise the Lord." Well, one day, an atheist moved into the house next door. Over time, he became very irritated about this little old lady. So every morning when she would shout, "Praise the Lord," he would shout back, "There is no God." Time passes by. For months, the two of them carrying on this way every day. Then one morning in the middle of winter, the little old lady stepped out her front porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord. Lord, I have no food and I'm hungry. Please provide for me, oh Lord." The next morning, she stepped out into her porch and there were two huge bags of groceries sitting there. She shouted, "Praise the Lord. God has provided groceries for me." Suddenly, the atheist jumped out of the hedges and shouted, "There is no God. I bought you those groceries." The little old lady threw her arms up in the air and shouted, "Praise the Lord. He's provided me with groceries and made the devil pay for it." God will sometimes make the devil pay for it. In 1 John chapter 4, there's a great teaching about walking in discernment, walking in spiritual understanding. And the Bible says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Everybody say test. So it's the word we talked about last week, dokimazo, which means to discern, to examine the genuineness of something. So discern the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How many of you can agree with me that there is a whole lot of deception happening in the world? Not just in America, the whole world. So deception is Satan's greatest weapon. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world." So the Antichrist is kind of an overarching principality, headline for all deceiving powers, all deceiving spirits that pull people into various beliefs that are contrary to God's word and truth. Verse 4 is a famous verse. So if you've been in the church very long, you've heard this verse. "But you are of God, little children, and have overcome them," them being all the deceiving powers and spirits that are active in the world. Why? "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So I just want to remind you, the Holy Spirit inside of you is more powerful than any deceiving spirit out there. And the Holy Spirit gives you, like this verse says, overcoming authority, overcoming power to triumph over deception when it comes in any form. So we have inside of us a lie detector. We have inside of us a deception detector called the wonderful Holy Spirit. And he will always warn you when something's not right, when someone's not right. He will help you. Verse 5 says, "They are of the world, these spirits and those governed by them. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them." So the culture, people adopt the vocabulary of the culture when they're under the influence or deceiving powers of the culture. "But we are of God, and he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God does not hear us." They're just simply, so people that aren't saved, the Bible calls them, in 2 Corinthians talks about three different minds, the natural mind, the carnal mind, the spiritual mind. So the natural mind are people that aren't born again yet, they're not saved, and so they don't discern spiritual things, okay? So they don't understand things because they are not yet born of God and filled with the Spirit. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So that's a simple definition that there's, so I was reading and I had to stop and I started praying for the gentleman, but someone said, what about this guy? And so I was reading about his theology. And so his theology is there's no hell, no one's going to hell. Well, I wish that was true, but it's not. Jesus himself spoke frequently about a place called hell. Any teaching that denies there's a hell is false. So that's called universalism. That's what it tends toward, that everyone's going to heaven. Jesus died to bring everyone to heaven, but you have to believe and receive him in order to get that. So are you with me? So if we skip the believing part, then people aren't going to be saved because they're not going to be invited. No, the Bible says God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever believes in that son, Jesus, would not perish, but have everlasting life. So perishing is being away from God for eternity. So Christ died to save us, amen? So this is a big point. So now, in the context of this narrative, the next verses are important because we're talking about walking and discerning, testing the spirits, knowing truth and error. In verse 7, he says this, beloved, let us agape love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone that does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. So he gives us in the church world a litmus test for truth and error. And he says this, if you, no matter how much of the Bible you know, no matter how many theological books you've written, no matter how famous you are for your spiritual gifts, if you don't have love, you ain't nothing. Okay? That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. So people that know God have been impacted, influenced, and transformed by his love, and they are carriers of love. So we are never more like God than when we love people. We are never more unlike Christ than when we are hateful to people. Okay, so here's the litmus test. And for the next many verses, there's an expansion that we have love, we have boldness to come to God's presence, that we are, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So talking about all the great rewards of love. But here's what he said. Don't be a Christian that develops an unloving lifestyle. Now, the church is being picked on a little bit in this moment in history. It is not yet full-fledged persecution, but it's heading there. So when people pick on you unjustly and people persecute you or people say vicious things about you, it's easy to respond in kind. You with me? Yeah. To let him have it. But here's what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Are you kidding me? What about calling down fire? What about all the good Old Testament stuff? Jesus said, love your enemies, and then you're a child of God. So what we want to do is we don't want to be caught up into the emotional violence of the culture wars of this moment. We want to, of course, we want righteousness. We want to stand for holiness. We want to stand for what we believe in, but we want to do it in a loving way. Don't let this moment steal God's love from your heart. God loves people even when they're nasty to you or critical of you or when they pick on you or when they're persecuting you. And it's important, you know, Stephen, the first martyr of the church, while he's being stoned, said, Lord, don't lay this against them. Don't charge them. He forgave them while they were still hurting him. That's love. Forgiveness is the voice of love. So we want to test the spirits, discern them, accurately understand what's going on, because not everybody... So just a couple of points. So the offense of Christianity is this. There's only one way to God, and that's Jesus. Yeah. So, yes, God's loving. He's perfect love. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So there's not 3,000 ways to God, there's one. There's not 3,000 ways to salvation, there's one. And his name is Jesus. Okay, he's love personified, but the truth is, there's an offense in the gospel because it says, we love you and you believe differently, but we're not going to change our beliefs that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, the life. And we're going to stand preaching that truth so you can know. The Message Bible says this nicely in verse 1 of chapter 4. My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. When I read that, I think about the meme I saw it. I saw where it was Abraham Lincoln saying, everything on the internet is true. Abraham Lincoln. Don't believe everything you hear. There's power when people see things in media, either television or some other important media platform, they have a tendency to be trusting of it. But one thing we've learned the last few years is you can't trust media. Just do 5 seconds of research. And I'm not picking on media people, they're just reading what's put before them. But it's amazing, see, everybody's got agendas, they have an agenda. And they can't help themselves from wanting to push people into their agenda. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Yes. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There's a lot of lying preachers loose in the earth. Yes. Come on, how many preachers are going to preach about that today? Yes. But there are a lot of preachers preaching various things. Anybody in media is preaching. Here's how you test the genuine Spirit of God. Anyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come as actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. Okay, so that's the beginning litmus test right there about where we stand with God is all about Jesus. Jesus is the turning point, what we believe about Jesus. So the most important thing in life is what you believe about Jesus, okay? Do you believe he is the Savior of the world? I just want to tell you, he loves you like crazy. If you've never met him, today's your day. Amen. He's not angry at you. He's not mad at you. He's not at war with you. He's not hurting your family. He loves you. He's for you. And he wants you to know him in a great way. There's a great verse that kind of encapsulates this idea in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And some bullet points from the apostle, the Holy Spirit to us. And verse 15 says, see that no one renders evil for anyone, but pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. So don't let your reaction be something that's borne about by negative emotions or by hurtful feelings, but respond in faith. Respond in a good way. Amen. Bless those that curse you. Walk in the power of God's grace and God's love. Verse 16, rejoice always. What a good, two words. But man, that's a whole lot. Rejoice, don't stop praising God. I say it like this, if the devil can't stop your worship, he can't steal your breakthrough. You keep worshiping God all the time. Pray without ceasing. These five words, worship always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Like beautiful Mary said, live with a heart of gratitude and watch how it enriches your life. Here we go. Verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. The next verse says, do not despise prophecy. So those are connected. How do we quench the Spirit? By despising, dishonoring, or not practicing the gifts of the Spirit, including and beginning with prophecy. So this is important because the church at Thessalonica, which this is written to, they had someone stand up and say, Christ has already, his second coming has already come. He's in the earth right now. And so they were prophesying a deception. And so the natural response to that would be, no more prophecy because that was a weird prophecy. And so he's saying, well, no, we don't want to quench or stop or put out the flames of the Spirit. We want prophecy to happen, but then he says this in the next verse, test all things, hold fast to what is good. So don't quench it by stopping it, but test it and see if it's from God. Any word you ever get from a person in prophecy, you have the authority to discern it, to test it by scriptures like we talked about last week, and by the Holy Spirit. Greater, you have the lie detector inside of you. You have the greater one inside of you. He will always alert you when something's off, and he will help you. So the idea of the Holy Spirit is connected with that word quench. So I quench the Holy Spirit by stopping something he wanted to do. I grieve the Holy Spirit by doing something he didn't want me to do. So those are the two spectrums of sin. Now what happens is both of those actions create conviction inside of me. I was walking in Paradise Valley years ago when we began our church in Scottsdale, and a man was coming toward me pushing a wheelchair with a young boy in it. And the Lord said to me, stop that man and pray for his son. And I have like less than 10 seconds. He's coming, I'm walking. And so all this is in my mind, I'm thinking, this is a crowded public mall. I don't know that guy. So I'm battling it. Before you know it, he passed me. I didn't do it. That was Saturday. On Sunday, we had a guest speaker I hadn't met yet. And I was at church early and the doors opened and the guest speaker came in pushing his son in a wheelchair. And if I would have obeyed God, I wonder what would have happened. So I felt deeply convicted that I had quenched the Spirit. And so in my walk with God, I'm usually obedient there, but there have been times when I didn't do it. Every time that happens, I feel like this emptiness, like this heavenly sorrow. The same thing when you grieve the Holy Spirit. The main way people grieve the Holy Spirit is by their words. Because you talk more than you act. You speak a lot of words, okay? You speak between 15 to 30,000 words. You're talking a lot. So when you say something that the Holy Spirit's in disharmony with, you will feel, I grieved him. Come on, I've had mid-sentence conviction where the Holy Spirit said, you shouldn't have said that, stop. And I'll say, I have to stop saying this. I'm convicted. If you're with Mary and I, we never talk about people. We don't gossip about people. We don't talk about other preachers. We never gossip about other preachers. Yeah. Why? God's listening. Yep. Of the fear of God. Yeah. And I don't want to quench the Spirit. The Holy Spirit trusts me to deliver words. So in my traveling ministry, here's what I primarily do. I go to places that are re-engaging the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy. Many of these are large, movements, religious apostolic movements in the earth. And so when I go there, I come under the authority of the pastor. I ask him to pray, call out people in a public session. I'll say, you call out people. I'll pray for who you choose and try to make it as integrous as possible. People I've never met. God always shows up. It's a great thing. So I do it lovingly, biblically, under authority, and with humility. And what that does is people that have had bad experiences, like the Thessalonica church, they re-engage the Holy Spirit. Because what pastors have done, especially in, Pentecostal denominations in America, you can't find the gift of prophecy functioning anymore. Because they've all had bad experiences with it. But how many of you have ever had a bad meal? Yeah. Anyone ever got food poisoning? Anyone had a meal that was so bad you had to pretend like you were eating it? Yeah. Come on, I fed more food to dogs when I was a kid than I ate, Mom, this is good. And how many of you still eat even though you had a bad meal? Yeah. So there is no legitimate right to stop the gifts of the Spirit because you've had a bad experience with one of them. Okay? But we want to bring the church into order. So when I grew up in Pentecost, we have a great Pentecostal, really legend here in Sister Ruth. And when I grew up in Pentecost, and Sister Ruth will remember this, especially the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, when the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues was more prominent than prophecy. So you'd be sitting in church, and it could be right in the middle of a pastor's sermon, and the person beside you could start screaming in tongues. And they'd be screaming. And so when I was a little boy, I was always terrified at church. Because you don't know who's going to explode. You're like, I wonder who's going to do it today. And so that's not decently and in order. So decently in order is what? In under authority, in ways that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not rude. You with me? He's not. He will do things politely, normally, with authority. So whenever I'm in an environment, doesn't matter if it's government, church, or business, I always submit to the authority there and don't act like I'm a big shot coming from the outside. I said, I'm under your authority. Recognizing that's how I receive authority. Okay? So it's important because, I have a friend here, he has a big church, 12,000 people, and we're talking about prophecy. He says, well, I suppose they get the prophecy could be true. I just have never heard a real prophecy. Well, their church has a charismatic name, but they've thrown out the Holy Spirit. They've thrown out the gifts of the Spirit. Because prophecy should be as common as breathing air for believers. God has something to say to this generation. Okay, so we don't want to quench. We don't want to grieve. Okay, a couple bullet points. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit's leading. Don't disregard His voice. I've been in so many great environments where the Holy Spirit's telling me something that it looks kind of strange. Like I was in an airport and there was a congressman there and the Lord said, go prophesy. I'm like, is that appropriate, Lord? You know, I'm talking with the Lord. Shouldn't I be introduced? And shouldn't I? He's like, do it. I told Mary, she said, do it. I've turned out good because of the Holy Ghost and Mary. That's my story. So finally, I go up and I share this word, and it was so funny. This guy was so intense, and I hate it, and like a Catholic guy. So he like leans into me, like 2 inches away from my face. So whenever people do that, when I'm prophesying, I always close my eyes. So after the prophecy, he says, "It's amazing. How could you possibly know those things?" Wow. Because we were talking about the secrets of his why he was going on this trip to South America. It was really, really interesting. So the good report was Mary and I were flying coach, and about 10 minutes after we got in the plane, we got called up to first class by the congressman who made the airlines seat us in first class. So obey God and you'll go first class. That's just what I want to say. The dealings of the Holy Spirit will so satisfy you. Don't close your ears when God is speaking to you. Okay? Don't pass up an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to use you. Don't avoid moments when God wants to pour His power through you. Don't throw waters in the flames of the Spirit. That's just quenching it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this morning I prayed 22 things. It sounds more than it is. I prayed for the mind of Christ from Ephesians 1, which is revelation, understanding, and wisdom. So I want the mind of Christ. I prayed for the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill me today with your love, agape love, joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. I pray for every day. Why? Because my fruit rots. Don't you wish you could pray one prayer every month? Fill me, Holy Spirit. I have to pray it every day. You with me? I have to pray twice a day when I'm driving in Phoenix. Fill me, Holy Ghost. Fill me with patience and love and kindness. Oh, and so it's the good thing is now I only think bad things about other cars and don't say them. So the Holy Spirit fills us. Then I pray for the gifts of the Spirit from this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit's given to every person to profit Everyone. Everybody gets in. Everybody gets the gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Holy Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another by the same Spirit, faith, supernatural faith, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Everybody say discerning of spirits. So I just wrote some simple kind of definitions of what this means and the importance of it in our walk. Discerning of spirits is important. Here's what it means. Reveals what spiritual power is behind the actions of a person or in a situation. So it is the veil opening to see who's really controlling an environment. The discerning of spirits reveals what spiritual power is behind. So here's three just simple ways, okay? There are three possible places that a person can be influenced by. First of all, discerning of spirits tells you if it's God. Angelic powers are God, okay? Number two, discerning of spirits tells you when the devil's at work. Remember when Christ said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you know not the things of God"? Peter was rebuked because a spirit was working through him. Jesus never rebuked his friend. He rebuked the spirit speaking through his friend. Number three, human spirits. So discerning spirits will tell you if it's God at work, if it's the devil at work, or if it's just people at work. It's so important because we don't want to blame the devil for what people are doing. And we don't want to miss the devil at work when we think it's just people. And more importantly than both those, we want to recognize when God's moving. Amen. I love it. It happens like once a month here. Someone will race up after church. Pastor, I had a vision. There was a huge angel behind you this morning when you're speaking. I go, where? People, the spirit world opened up. People have discerning spirits. See? So they see angelic powers at work or Holy Spirit at work in a beautiful way. As a believer, the wonderful Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. Okay? He has always sought to warn you whenever something isn't right. The Holy Spirit would give you an internal check, a red light about something or someone that's deceptive or in error. The Holy Spirit will protect you from deception. Someone say hallelujah. So if you've only been saved 5 minutes, you still have the Holy Spirit inside of you that will say when something's right, when something's wrong. So let me give an example. How many of you beautiful people are single right now? Wave your hand. It's not a trick. Go on. How many of you single people are open to the possibility of getting married or in the future? Okay. We lost some there. Okay. I'm not trying to set anybody up here. We're trying to. So, how many of you know in this time that we need the Holy Spirit? Because someone can look perfect, but be sent by the devil. So, you better have more than just four. Well, you know, like I wanted to be blonde and blah blah blah. Yes, God cares about those things. That's fine. But you better walk in the Spirit, because someone may look perfect, but they're carrying something that's designed to destroy you if you bring them into your life. So when you pray, the Holy Spirit will protect you. And say, no, that's not the right person. Are you sure, Lord? They sure look right. But the Lord will give you peace about the right people. Isn't that cool? You'll say, even if everyone's against you. I got so many good stories. Can I tell them, honey? Honey, just plug your ears. So the Holy Spirit will protect you. And the Holy Spirit and Mary. Now, here's a couple of points. Pridefulness is an open door to deception. So the most vulnerable activity you can have is pridefulness to deception, the relationship. So conversely, invertly, humility is a protective shield against deception. Blessed are the poor in spirit, there's the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. So if you're unteachable, your destiny is unreachable. But if you're teachable, your destiny is reachable. Now, so pride is when the enemy is appealing. So I have learned, listen, I have learned in my profession to say, when people ask me hard questions now, I say, I don't know. You will never find a young pastor saying that.
Well, I think the Bible.
If I don't know something, I feel 100% peace and say, I have no idea what that means. Because I don't feel pressure to leave the comfort zone of my revelatory understanding. So it's important, because the more humility you walk with, the harder time the devil can hook you. I was, when I first started pastoring here, this church 17 years ago, about maybe a year into it, a group of pastors locally approached me, and they had written kind of a white paper, which is a critical a criticism of someone that had moved here, another ministry, and they said, Pastor, this, and so they spent like 2 hours, like lawyers, convincing me how wrong this person was and how deceptive there was, and they wanted my name because my name had some influence. So I said, yeah, put my name on that paper. That's horrible. We won it. And so about a week later, the Holy Spirit talks to me. He says, you know, son, did you ever meet with that person and discuss your concerns? I said, no. Do you know anything about them except what they told you? Not really. And so, man, in my office, I got on my knees. I said, man, forgive me, God. I called up that person. Her name was Patricia King. I said, I'm deeply sorry. I've signed something. And she's so always loving. She's one of the most Christ-like people I've ever met. And she said, oh, nothing. And I said, no. I publicly judged you and criticized you. I'm going to publicly apologize. I came to her conference. There was 1,500 people there. I walked up on the stage and I said, I sinned against this woman, and I want to publicly apologize because I want to be clean with God. Now, this is so important, because there is so much garbage going around called discernment when it's almost always just suspicion and false judgment. There's no such gift as the gift of suspicion. People that are overly bound with fearfulness, often there's this, well, I don't feel right about that. Well, you don't feel right about anybody. Come on, tell the truth. Yeah, I just feel checked. You feel checked about everything. So that's the gift of suspicion is not the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, let me say this next sentence. Let me just go a little bit into this. Hateful heresy hunters are usually non-charismatic, non-spirit-filled believers who, without any true familiarity with the Holy Spirit, have taken it upon themselves to judge other Christians and ministers. They are so often so horribly wrong because they pursue the process of testing the Spirit's discernment solely through their own limited intellectual properties. People that have no familiarity with the Holy Spirit are incapable of functioning in spiritual discernment. The best way to discern the counterfeit is to be familiar with the genuine. Those that have no fire, to those people that have no fire, all fire is strange. Oh, they pray for the sick of that church. Yeah, like Jesus said to. I got a woman got in my face. Pastor, do you belong to the NAR? I said, what the heck is the NAR? I thought it was like a retirement thing. I'm getting close. She said, it's the New Apostolic Reformation. She said, it's on the internet you belong to this group. I said, I haven't heard of it till you just mentioned it to me. how could I belong to a group I've never heard of before? She said, no, no, the internet says you belong. I said, is there a secret handshake? Am I missing out something here? And I'm talking to her, and I'm not getting anywhere because she said it, she saw on the internet.
Right, come on.
Now, stay with me. I'm questioned a couple times a month. Pastor, what do you think about Bethel Church and Bill Johnson? Well, I've been friends with Bill Johnson for 15 years. He's one of the best Christians I've ever met. He loves his wife. He has unbelievable kids. He's changed the world. A couple things. Things that he's given birth to: Healing Rooms, Jesus Culture, Bethel Music, School of Supernatural Ministry, Sozo, bum, 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 bum. Millions of people touched. Yeah, but I saw on the internet. I saw a video. I saw something on Netflix. Oh, you can believe everything you see on Netflix. There's not one Christian in the 5,000 employees of that. You can believe everything they tell you. Oh, they're only for the gospel. And my God, my goodness. If our best leaders are being called heretics, it's like shooting generals in the back. Let me go a little further. So I hate to say this, but I unfriended about 50 people because they posted evil things about Joel Osteen. Now, in the last 15 years, nobody in America has won more souls for Jesus than him. Yes. Maybe the last 20 years. Nobody. Oh, Pastor, I don't like him. I know you don't like him, but I'm so glad God does. Now, you have to be so careful because almost all the discernment is just people critiquing his messages. They don't like his smile. He's handsome. I don't know what their problem is. Almost all public criticism is secretly fueled by envy. I prayed for Joel Osteen one time. I don't know him as good as I know Bill Johnson. He dropped to his knees and started crying. It so stunned me, I could barely finish the prophetic word. Because I prayed for thousands of leaders and never had one do that, let alone the pastor of the largest church in America. You staying with me? Well, I don't know if I support everything he does. I don't support everything you do. Come on. My beautiful wife doesn't support everything I do. Most of it, but not all of it. We have to be so careful. Come on. There are real demonic powers engulfing this generation, and we're fighting over styles of ministry we don't like. Well, I don't like all that Hillsong stuff. I hope in heaven you live in the Hillsong neighborhood. I hope you live right there. And you have to go through 1,000,000 years of nothing but Hillsongs. God bless you. Let me finish with these little points. Discerning of spirits will expose hidden agendas. Mary and I were just recently married, 21, at Sweetwater Church of the Valley. And we were there at church for a healing evangelist that had come in town. And we got there late. We're in the very back row, like the second from the back row. So after the praise and the worship, the Holy Spirit's talking. I'm 21. And he said to me, I don't want you to stay for the service. The man, I'd never met the man. The man that's going to minister has an unclean spirit and is morally perverse. I don't want him. I don't want you to be exposed to that. I'm ready. I'm going, wow. I turned to my wife to tell her, and someone touched my shoulder. And it was that man. He left the stage, came and put his hand on me. What did I do? I got the H-E-L-L out of there. Boom. Now, maybe 18 months later, headlines about his own moral failing lifestyle. God protected me from receiving from the ministry that would have polluted me.
That's good.
So the Holy Spirit will protect you. Come on. The Holy Spirit will reveal, the third Spirit's will expose hidden agendas, will uncover hidden activity of the enemy. Discerning the spirits will expose human fleshly agendas. Discerning the spirits will help us recognize when the Holy Spirit is at work. Discerning the spirits alerts us to angelic presence and activity. Have you ever felt kind of that just holy hush? Yeah. Once you felt like something came into the room. Often it's not just the presence of God, it's the presence of angels. Yeah. Discerning the spirits is the unveiling of what is the controlling power behind the scenes in a situation or person. Discerning the spirits will protect you from entering into a relationship or doing business with the wrong person. Well, discerning the spirits will protect you from receiving ministry from someone God didn't send you. Discerning the spirits has never been more important to function in than now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us, that you empower us. Thank you that your presence inside of us assures us of a protection against whatever the enemy's launching against us. Thank you for filling us, Holy Spirit. Would you say this out loud with me? Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling in me. Thank you for all that you do. Today, I ask you for the spiritual gift of discerning of spirits. And by faith, I receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for listening to me. Would you stand your feet, everybody?